Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing this week?
Well, not as hot, and trying to get caught up on all the stuff that we didn't get to last week.
Oh boy, playing a little catch up. Yes, you know, the summer can tend to get that way. I know what you mean. Short week last week with the 4th and everything. So
we spent our weekend over in Lacey, and a shout out to the Mizuno Maniacs 12U.
Nice.
08 girls, the Washington State ASA softball champions.
Absolutely. That is awesome. Well, congrats. Absolutely fun to see.
Made the trip worthwhile.
It's fun to see the Tri-Cities teams really get out there. And I think I heard there was a Little League team from Richland.
KA is going to the Cal Ripken World Series.
Yeah. And then I think Richland team over at State, right, you know, coming up. So yeah, pretty awesome stuff, and congrats to all that, and the parents that are willing to be the road warriors out there.
Oh,
also. Yeah. Well, the real estate market has not cooled off any. The temperature might have a little bit, although it's supposed to be hot again later today. But
104.
Real estate market still hanging in there at a blistering pace. Before we jump into today's topic, though, we always like to start off with our crazy national celebrity real estate story. This week coming out of Architectural Digest. But I'm going to ask McKay to go back and see if he knows this and can pull this out.
Okay.
A small connection here to Tri-Cities. So think about the Columbia Center Mall. This is going to also tell how old I am.
Mm-hmm.
Think before you would go to Walmart, before you would go to Kmart, was there a store in Columbia Center?
Woolworths.
Oh, you nailed it. You didn't even have to think about it. Absolutely.
Since I was 3, I've been a Tri-City native.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. A mansion that was actually featured in Taylor Swift's 2014 Blank Space video, kind of a popular Taylor Swift music video there for our Swifties.
I wouldn't know.
Out there. You wouldn't know. I have a daughter that age, so I would know. But what it is the former Woolworth family mansion estate in New York.
Wow.
It had hit the market previously for $19 million, but didn't sell. So now they're using the auction format with a minimum reserve, and it's headed to auction later this month.
Wow.
The Long Island mansion was built by American architect C.P.H. Gilbert between 1915 and 1916, and it shocks me they were able to do it in a year. 32,000 square feet with an 11-car garage.
That's impressive.
It's also on the National Register of Historic Places. It was owned for the last 30 years by a historic preservationist who had bought the property, but he passed away, and so now his estate is going to be auctioning that off. So
ooh.
I had not thought about the Woolworth store in years, and then I saw this new story come across, and I was like, oh man, here we go. This
next thing you know, you're going to be dropping ferals.
Oh boy, don't get me started on that one. So that was our crazy national celebrity story. And then we're going to go on to our local real estate news story. And what I wanted to talk about today, and I think at first glance, people are going to be a little bit shocked about this,
mm-hmm.
but then we're going to go in and talk about it. Local real estate news here on our shared border, Oregon State has gone ahead and signed into law. Folks, they are outlawing the buyer's love letter to sellers in real estate transactions. And McKay's staring at me, and he's like, what are you talking about? What does this have to do with the real estate market and what they're doing? But what it has to do and what they're finding is happening, and this is a topic that is super important that I think needs to be addressed. But What they're finding happening is that the love letters to the sellers are causing inadvertently violations of the Fair Housing Act, the discriminatory practices. So, to go back to that, and what happens is that the Fair Housing Law says that you cannot discriminate against a buyer in a transaction or a tenant in a rental situation. The federally protected classes is you cannot discriminate against race, color, national origin, religion, disability, sex, or familial status. Now, then Washington state has overlays on that, and Washington is added to those protected classes, marital status, sexual orientation, gender identity, HIV status, veterans or military status, and citizenship or immigration status. And the last one that Washington has is what's called source of income. And people are like, source of income, Lance, what are you talking about? Well, source of income says that you cannot discriminate against somebody if they are receiving funds from like a public assistance program. So those are the classes that you cannot discriminate against. So what is Oregon said? And actually, it goes beyond Oregon, and we're going to kind of talk about that today. But what Oregon has done is they've taken a look at these letters that the buyers are writing to sellers, because we all know what has happened. Super hot real estate market, multiple offers on all of these properties. So the buyers start to say, how am I going to stand out? And so I've got some notes here that why this happens, okay? And what exactly is going on? Like, why would a buyer go ahead and write the letter? Well, the buyer's trying to establish commonality with the seller. Similar family, race, religion, culture, lifestyle. Maybe you work out at the same gym. You've seen him there.
Yeah.
And they want to generate an emotional basis for the seller's selection of them as the buyer. A lot of times people will put in there, they'll assure the seller that the seller's vision of the property will be maintained. Maybe the seller's taking great care of the yard and that they will continue to maintain it. And they want to create a distinction in their offer beyond price and terms because of who they are. They want you to like them and pick them. Like, they're waving their hands, pick me. I'm a much better choice. Now, and then the last point is, why do buyers do this? Because sometimes it works. Like, they do it because it works. Now, what is the problem with the scenario that I just described if we look at this on the basis of fair housing? Establish commonality with the seller. If we look at that in terms of fair housing, that could inadvertently lead to discrimination. Because if the seller, without even thinking about it, what could be happening in those cases is that commonality, we know, could go well beyond the things that we just talked about. And so, and it's worth pointing out as we have this discussion today, because I, you know, don't need 9 million Facebook messages about someone that heard a 3-minute snippet of today's show. It's worth pointing out, in the case of doing this, that over the course of 22 years, and maybe that's maybe that's too many times in a lot of people's views, but in the course of 22 years of doing this, there's only been 5 times that I've had to fire somebody because they were going down this path. And I'm not going to go down that path. And another 5 times where I had to tell somebody that, you know, this is absolutely wrong and you're going to have to change and do it this way, or I am going to fire you and you're going to be part of that other count of 5. But that's not what's being addressed by this legislation. You know, most people we will never have to have that discussion with, but what they're addressing is this inadvertent discrimination that happens because of these letters. So the other thing that I wanted to point out is we just talked about what happened with the buyer. Now we need to look at the seller's perspective, because the buyer's perspective was all positive in that case, you know, meaning they didn't set out. They're trying to gain something and get something. So this liability is going on the seller and the seller's agents. Most of it in that case. But the biggest problem for the seller is the same advantage for the buyer, because these letters work.
Yeah.
Well, that could be a major problem for a seller, because it could create a potential fair housing violation. Mm. And you do not want to go through a fair housing investigation or a trial or what's involved in that. I mean, emotionally, I mean, just wrecking people in that situation. You know, the seller's selection could be based upon protected class status, and they might not even know any better in that situation.
In other words, if somebody writes you a letter trying to schmooze you and say, hey, we have the best offer, we're going to do this and this and this.
Yes.
Wow. So,
well, let's just say two things. Let's just say, I mean, let's just put it in the case of it's a single male selling a house, and he gets two offers. And one offer is from another single male for $200,000. But then there's an offer from a single male that he just happens to work out at the same gym with for $200,000. And there's a female offer, a single female that wrote an offer for $202,000. But, you know, he happens to work out at the gym with that guy, always has liked him. They've always had rapport at the gym, picks that offer for $200,000. Fast forward 6 months later, you're standing in front of a judge.
Oh.
And he says, we have an offer of $202,000 from a female, and we had an offer of $200,000 from a male, and you picked the offer of $200,000. Something doesn't look right here.
To which, this is just me, I'd be saying, my house, my offer, hit the bricks, Junior, step off.
You would be saying that, but that's not how it works.
Wow.
And so that's the situation.
In a sense,
inadvertently,
this is going to affect how sellers pick whoever buys the house.
If they want to avoid some serious liability, there are going to be some changes that happen in that case. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, like, because you didn't do that on purpose. You knew that guy and you did that. And you, like you said, your house, and you knew that guy. But you had a real estate agent involved in that. The real estate agent is responsible for maintaining these Fair Housing Act and these anti-discrimination laws. And so
are we going to see the love letters disappear and it's all going to be done verbally?
Well, here, it's not going to be so much verbally, but the way that it was described by Oregon's laws and the language about this, it's going to be interesting to see what comes up and is clear or not clear about that. But for instance, an offer could include maybe a cover sheet, but they only want to see what has been deemed as customary documents for the transaction. No photographs, no personal love letters. So one of the things about this in Washington now, right now, is we know a lot of times these things spread from other states. And it's knocking on our door at Oregon. We might see this very well happen in Washington coming up here. And so I wanted to get ahead of this a little bit, let people know about it. And some of the differences, because it's likely that we would see that come this way. There's been recommendations by the National Association of Realtors about the dangers of looking at those love letters and what you can do to protect yourself as a seller.
Wow.
So when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you some examples of a couple things that violate fair housing advertising, so you can see what the differences are, and then talk about the strategies that our sellers could be using to protect themselves from getting into inadvertently discriminating.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about fair housing and preventing the discrimination with the Fair Housing Act. One of the things that, you know, it talks about, and the language is very specific, that it's unlawful to make, print, publish any notice, statement, or advertisement with respect to the sale or rental of a dwelling that indicates any preference, limitation, or discrimination because of race, religion, sex, handicap, familial status, or national origin.
Well, that's kind of an understood. It's been like that for years.
Yes, and so now, though, what they're getting into is the nitty-gritty of how this is delivered, and Oregon has taken that step, and they have outlawed the love letter, and that's what we talked about in the first.
Were talking during the break, you know what's going to happen. Everything is going to become verbal.
Well, yeah.
And if I know a guy and we're good friends, and I know he's going to take care of the property the way I want, you know, it's just the way people are. People are going to leave no paper trail. They're going to do everything verbally.
You got to be really careful with that, though. And and as a licensed real estate agent, if you go down that path, you're going to be violating fair housing, and we're going to have to terminate our relationship. And so you really have to kind of watch what's happening there. The intent here is, and the intent of what they're doing is very, very positive. But the unintended consequences of what happens, and for buyers that had this as an arsenal for a way to put things out there and talk about common interest, the problem that happens, and I've been through the trainings on this and identifying it, is we get down to a point where we are splitting hairs. So for instance, a buyer says, I'm a master gardener and I'm a wildlife enthusiast. Well, in the trainings that we go to and we talk about those things, is that a young person or is that an older person?
Wow.
And so there's a lot of, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you are explaining this in an investigation.
And so if somebody's looking at a house and they go, oh, cool, you have a big garden back there, I love gardening,
now
I won't have to put one in now.
Absolutely.
And so is that going to be a violation?
So in that specific instance, no, it is not. But what they, I think, to prevent this from happening, they just blanket said no more love letters.
Okay, and but like so, if they're showing the house.
If you're showing the house, yes, and there's those things. No, that is just when we go too far. But like you and I talk about all the time, did we go too far already? Because there's a lot of great agents out there, and myself and my company, and I would say 99.9% of the other agents in this town, we're never going to cross that line. And so now we have, you know, the situation where we have the ones that have crossed the line now affecting that tool is no longer available. But let me explain to you in what instance they are recommending and the things that you can do.
Okay.
And like I said, this comes down to keeping our sellers out of trouble, keeping them from inadvertently doing this. The listing broker must, in these situations, ensure that the seller's selection of the offer is for deal terms only, having a justifiable business reason, and then making sure that we're documenting that in our transaction files. It's gone as far, and I've seen the national complaints and looked at this and what's going on. There has been, and a lot of this is because the stress of multiple offers and buyers losing out time and time again, there has been fair housing complaints issued, many, many cases, just because of the last name of the buyer that was put on the contract. These complaints have gone in front of the Fair Housing Board and our jurisdictions that control our licensing. So one of the things they've talked about doing is for sellers, if you have 10 offers and your listing agent is presenting those offers to you, that you could request that any love letters be sealed in an envelope that goes with those offers. You could then index those offers 1 through 10 without giving the buyers names. And then you're picking an offer based upon a numbering system. I like offer number 3 because of XYZ in the contract. I like offer number 6. So you get down to your final selection and you've chosen offer number 6. Mm-hmm. And that's the offer you're going with, regardless of what you see in that letter. And then document that then the seller opened a sealed letter. Or even the step further that they're recommending is that the seller in those cases decide not to get the offers at all, or the love letters at all.
Mm-hmm.
They could say, now Washington state law does not prevent me right now, agency law, I cannot make that decision for a seller. My licensing says I get written communication from the other party. I get one of those love letters now. There could be fair housing, you know, there could be fair housing violations all over that thing. And right now, my agency law requires me to pass that on to my seller.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the seller could give me written instructions saying that they don't want to receive that, or that they got it from me, but they don't want to look at it. So a seller could make that choice if they wanted to in that situation. So those are just some of the craziness that has been thrown out around this topic and what they're talking about. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this progresses, to see what Washington decides. We know when we start to see things like this come out, that it spreads and it comes to other states.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot packed into this topic, way more than a 30-minute radio show could break out and talk about. We've had
Did Oregon do this because something happened, or is this just we should do this?
Well, yes and yes, both and both. Every state right now has seen these fair housing discriminatory cases come mm-hmm. up, and they're we go through the case studies, we get training on that to prevent it, and they're awful. Every single one of them, it makes my skin crawl when I read through them because, some of these are legitimate, so every single state has had mm-hmm. that happen. And this is a step to kind of rectify that situation. Now, we talk about pendulum swings, mm-hmm. how in the middle sometimes is really nice, but it tends to be everything goes to one side and then the pendulum swings
back
really
the
hard
other way.
To the other side. And so what we're seeing happen is just is just a massive, massive swing to where the recommendation is your buyer's name doesn't even get presented on the offer to your seller. I mean, this is real life stuff we're talking about. If you and I were talking about this, 6 years ago, we'd be like,
so all we can tell you is that a carbon based life unit wants to buy your house.
So,
wow, so
it's really, really when you break it down and get into that situation, it's quite a topic, very, very trending right now with what's going on. And our job is to help a seller not inadvertently make this mistake, and mm-hmm. that's the worst, is if you don't know what you don't know. And in many cases, they might not even know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we've developed these systems. We've researched that. My agents have training on it. And we're up to speed on that. Now, I will note to you, on the flip side of this coin, I have seen a number of love letters destroy the chances for the buyer. Mm-hmm. Meaning they'll write a love letter that they think gives them an opportunity with a seller that maybe pulls at the heartstrings.
But it ends up creeping them out.
It ends up, you nailed it. It either creeps them out or it irritates them
mm-hmm.
To the point where, sometimes they're like, I've seen sellers say, I do appreciate them writing this letter, but they really don't, because their next sentence is, no one helped me out when I did it. I've seen that happen before mm-hmm. to where it just totally backfires on a buyer. And so, we've always, helped counsel buyers in that situation. I've seen stuff written in those letters that I'm just like, this is a terrible idea, because I've been on the other side of the coin
mm-hmm.
where somebody has said this to a seller And it's they've accepted an offer for less money because they've frustrated him so much. So,
wow.
I guess in that situation, this law will actually save some buyers from themselves. and so there is a flip side to that coin.
Wow.
Well, folks, what is good news, and I do like to, it seems like we haven't had as much good news for buyers recently, but for the buyers that have been put out of the market because the multiple offers or have had time, there is an inkling of hope, just an opening of the smallest window that things will potentially start to cool a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so kind of a leading indicator of this, and it's weird that we can get ahead of this with this type of stuff, though, is if you look at some of the Google search results and like what are the words that people are searching for on Google right now, real estate, for the first time since May of 2020, real estate as a search term fell below 2019 levels.
Wow.
And so it's just kind of one of those little things is like, okay, are we starting to now see a little less demand in that situation? And once again, please listen to the whole show. I do not soundbite me on that you know, there is less demand because it's not here yet.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at these leading indicators.
Nationally.
Potentially we see a little bit of that easing. And like I said, I've said on the show before, it would take us, we're not talking months, we're talking what year it would take us to, or natural disaster, it would take us to catch up to the inventory levels that we need.
Mm-hmm.
With that news, I've got to pick three, and there's some inventory out there. And regardless of the overall market inventory, my agents, our guys are out there, they're killing it, and they're bringing in some great inventory for the market. Pick number one, 5604 Bermuda Road in Kennewick. Listen to this place, park-like property.
Ooh.
Four bedroom, three bath, two story home on 2 acres, 2186 square feet, formal living room, formal dining room, tile floors, laminate wood flooring, big room off the kitchen with wood burning stove, updated kitchen with lots of storage, white shaker cabinetry, subway tiled backsplash updates with stainless steel appliances. You've got an oversized 3-car finished garage, lots of space for RV parking, fantastic home. So 2 acres, Riata, 4-bed, 3-bath, $550. And that one's, that one's going to be popular. That one could be gone, well, folks, maybe this afternoon. So yes, that
and
one.
And 17 minutes
really
from now.
Really popular. 1049 Cayuse Drive. Now I'm going to take you out to Richland. Stunning home, 4-bedroom, 3-bath with a den, 2458 square feet. This kitchen showpiece built for entertaining, large island, gorgeous tile backsplash, upgraded cabinetry, quartz countertops, stainless steel sink. Main level has a den office for that work from home zooming that you all need to do. Half bath, large laundry room with sink, relaxing main suite with an ensuite master bath, dual sink vanity, full walk-in tiled shower. I mean, this place is just amazing. Plus, it's right next to the trailhead to Candy Mountain.
Ooh.
Up there, out there in White Bluffs, so Dallas Road out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you just hop on those amazing trails, and that's coming in at $465,000.
Wow.
Great South Richland property. Pick number three, I'm going to take you now to Kennewick, 1915 Neal Street. This is a move-in ready, 3-bed, 2-bath Rambler in Cherry Blossom Meadows, 1,400 square feet, tile floors throughout, great room layout, master suite has a large walk-in shower, dual sink vanity, big walk-in closet, fully fenced backyard, and a covered patio. Great Kennewick location, and this is coming in priced at $310,000.
Wow.
So absolutely, there is some fantastic property that is going on the market right now. If you have any questions about those, you want to be on our hot sheet list, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and we'd be glad to chat with you about that.
Absolutely.
Keeping current on real estate and what's happening, mm-hmm. We are looking forward to being back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.